The state threatens to withhold funding from a Northwest Arkansas city for not cooperating with federal immigration authorities. An upcoming forum looks at mental health challenges affecting women, and a festival celebrating all things books returns to Central Arkansas. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the Natural State. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. The Trump administration's immigration crackdown continues, including here in the Natural State. Meanwhile, the city of Fayetteville is at odds with the state over a new law requiring cities to work with federal immigration authorities. Little Rock Public Radio's Josie Lenora spoke to Antoinette Grajeda, deputy editor of the Arkansas Advocate, about her story looking into the issue.
So what brought this all to light was there was a traffic stop in Fayetteville earlier this summer, back in June, and there was, I'm assuming it happened on social media, some conversation about what was going on. And so to clarify, the city put out a statement about what had happened during this particular traffic stop. It involved the Arkansas State Police, and they had asked the Fayetteville Police Department to, assist. And according to the city, a Fayetteville Police Sergeant responded, and when they got there, they observed both the Arkansas State Police and ICE personnel, but they didn't have any further involvement, and they left the scene. So the Fayetteville PD, according to this news release, they've not been contacted by ICE or any other agencies regarding immigration enforcement operations in the city. In this release, the mayor, Molly Ron, said, quote, "I want to reaffirm clearly the city of Fayetteville does not assist ICE in carrying out its agenda. Our police department's role is to keep our community safe, not to act as agents of immigration enforcement." And so the mayor was issuing the statement to, let people know what was going on. And then a state lawmaker saw that and took it to the attorney general saying that, hey, I think they're violating state law.
Is Molly Ron, is that within her power as the mayor?
So what someone is allowed to do or not to do is kind of what's in question right now. So earlier this year, during the 25 legislative session, lawmakers passed a bill called the Defense Against Criminal Illegals Act. And among other things, it expands the state's current ban on sanctuary cities. It's this term for municipalities that don't coordinate with federal immigration authorities. So Representative Kendon Underwood, he is arguing that her statement is basically saying that, we are not going to cooperate with ICE or federal immigration, and therefore that violates the state law. Part of the state law says that if an Arkansas resident sends a complaint to the attorney general, or if a lawmaker requests an opinion from the attorney general, he has to issue an opinion. And that's what happened on Wednesday, as he issued this opinion where he looked into this. And Attorney General Tim Griffin said, by his estimation, her saying that she was the mayor was reiterating their stance, that implies that there is a policy in place, and therefore they would be in violation of this law, and therefore unable to receive discretionary funding that's administered by the state. The city attorney has argued that, there are no specific policies or ordinances in place that say, do not cooperate with ICE, nothing like that. And to his point, that would be what would violate the law. The mayor, when this opinion came out on Wednesday, issued another a letter to, try and, again, clarify what's been said. And in that particular letter, she said, it's the policy of the city of Fayetteville to fully comply with all laws of the state of Arkansas, including this, particular statute in question. And she said that, the city of Fayetteville has never written a policy that affirms, suggest or implies the existence of a sanctuary policy. So to avoid any misunderstanding, I want to make it unequivocally clear that my comments should not be interpreted as supporting or establishing a sanctuary policy in violation of this, either now or at some point in the future. So she was trying to clarify that yesterday.
Attorney General Tim Griffin thinks this could be a sanctuary city, this could be in violation of state immigration law. Can you talk about that?
So in his opinion issued on September 17th, Attorney General Tim Griffin said that because the mayor had said that she was reiterating the city's position, that implies that a pre-existing policy exists and that would therefore violate the state's sanctuary policy. And so since his opinion, which is what this law requires, is that they are in violation, the consequence of that is that they're ineligible for discretionary funding that's administered by the state until they come into compliance with the law. The law does allow for a municipality to have that decision reviewed by going to Pulaski County Circuit Court. It's unclear yet if the city might take that stance or not, but that's a remedy for someone who maybe disagrees with the Attorney General's decision.
They seem to be, they're threatening withholding funds. Do you know what funds they're talking about?
So me and actually another Northwest Arkansas reporter have been chatting. We've been trying to sort through that to figure out what exactly is meant by discretionary funding, because generally, when we say discretionary funding, it means something that's not mandatory. It's something like maybe a competitive grant or something like that. But there is a lot of federal funding, say from HUD, that is administered through state entities. So trying to find some clarification if that would mean that that money would also be under this jurisdiction, or what would happen with that. So emails and phone calls have been put out, but we're still, as reporters, trying to find clarification. And to be fair, there are probably lawyers and other officials trying to sort through it too, because as far as I'm aware, this is the first instance of this being, you know, put into play, because the law was just passed earlier this year. So they may be sorting through the logistics of the law right now.
Are you getting a sense, like, as somebody who lives in Northwest Arkansas, like, how people feel about ICE? Is the mayor's decision popular? Or?
I couldn't speak to how the public in general is feeling about her statement or anything like that. But what I have seen as someone who lives here is definitely immigrant communities who are most affected by what is happening with ICE are concerned and are on the lookout for an increased presence and things like that. There's a lot of awareness on social media of folks saying, hey, I think there might be, you know, an ICE agent here, things like that. So there's a lot of communication, I would say, within the communities that are being affected. There is definitely an increased awareness of their activity, you know, not just in Arkansas, but nationwide, given the focus on the crackdown on immigration federally and how that's playing out in the states. So I personally could not speak to, you know, if there has been an uptick in it. I know there are folks out there that are trying to track arrests and apprehensions and things like that, but it is one of those things that has historically been difficult to track. So trying to get that into numbers so we can kind of see, have a comparison of what it looks like, has been kind of difficult for the folks who do this type of work regularly.
That was Antoinette Grajeda, deputy editor of the Arkansas Advocate, talking about the state of Arkansas threatening to withhold funding to the city of Fayetteville for its alleged sanctuary city policies. She spoke with Little Rock Public Radio's Josie Lenora. Nearly 20% of American women will face a serious mental health challenge this year, with depression striking women at twice the rate of men. That's according to data from the American Psychiatric Association. An upcoming forum presented by the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences aims to look at all aspects of mental health challenges affecting women. I spoke with Dr. Hannah Williams, associate professor in the UAMS Department of Psychiatry, to learn more about the event.
The whole forum is for women across our lifespan. So not only during the pregnancy and postpartum period, across from adolescence to fertility years, middle life, into geriatric, menopause and above. So, oh gosh, I could go on forever about why this is important and why it needed to happen, but to try to be very concise and summarize. So historically, a lot of medical studies, treatments, things like that were done with men, middle-aged men. So I think, one, it's really important to always remember the standard of normal in medicine has not always been looked at women appropriately or as thoroughly as needed. There's also specific things that women and females across our lifespan go through that are unique. and therefore draw special attention and different treatment towards compared to male counterparts. Each time frame of a girl female's life can be unique and different, and that corresponds to a lot of different things, from adolescent puberty, going through that, and then fertility years. There's just a very specialized groups of time in women's lives that women uniquely go through, and sharing those journeys, furthering research dedicated specifically to those times, is needed and important. And this forum, I think, is going to be a very good opportunity for lay people, medical professionals, healthcare professionals across a lot of different specialties to come forth, share new and up and coming treatment ideas to certain areas of women's lives, hear stories, have open panels, discussions, have people be able to reach out and learn more about resources, resource opportunities. So I think it's going to be a really great time for really anyone that is a woman, or people who know women and care about them in their lives. So I think it could apply to anybody.
As you said, you know, this is an incredibly broad topic, one that we cannot encapsulate in just our conversation today, or even in just one event like this forum. But for this forum, what specific, I guess, topics and perspectives did you want to have represented?
So we definitely wanted something to include the adolescent mind, more fertility, pregnancy and postpartum, and also menopause. We have aspects within, we have a speaker coming to talk about food and medicine, food and therapy. We have a world-renowned psychologist coming to talk about different therapy approaches, ACT and CBT, that can be uniquely helpful for women. We have panel discussions from leading perinatal psychiatrists. Man, it's hard to even answer your question. And when I think of, like, of course, I have my bias of what I find to be important, but I think highlighting the adolescent years, fertility years, and then menopausal timeframes of people's lives are certainly unique timeframes that are key points of a woman's life that I really wanted to highlight.
Part of mental health is sort of the physiological aspect of it, and you know, the changes that the body, you know, physically and sort of chemically goes through. Does that play a role in sort of what you're saying of, like, different stages in a woman's life and different mental health challenges?
Absolutely. There are unique both physiologic and psychiatric, and the overlap between mind body is huge for a lot of psychiatric conditions, but particularly for those within those timelines of a woman's life. Ask any woman and they would agree, I'm sure, that it's easy, for example, when you're pregnant, you also have a lot of similar overlapping symptoms of depression. You're tired, your sleep is bad, you feel moody, emotional, more tearful, your appetite's all over the place. Those are all really common symptoms of depression as well. And again, when we think about menopause, there's a lot of symptoms with menopause that overlap with different psychiatric conditions as well. So to answer your question, yes, there are unique physiologic and psychiatric symptoms in those timeframes of women's lives that we will discuss and highlight, and that is very important.
You did touch on this briefly, but just to hammer the point, who is this forum designed for? Just anyone who's interested?
Absolutely. Anyone who's interested, from women themselves, interested seeking care for themselves, coming to build community, find out what resources in their area are available to them, family members, loved ones who have women they're concerned about. Also for providers, different medical providers, or any really providers. Like I mentioned, we have someone coming talking about food and medicine. So I'm not a cook, but chefs, different people who enjoy cooking, you know, food is medicine in a lot of ways. So I think this could apply and be applicable to anyone interested in learning more about women's health.
From your perspective as ostensibly an expert in mental health, what do you think is overlooked or maybe not talked about very much that you'd like to see more with regard specifically to women's mental health?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. So what I would like to have more attention in highlighting care personally, like I said, I see a lot of pregnant and postpartum people. And I think the myth, misconception that pregnancy is supposed to be this really glorious, fabulous time. You should be glowing. You should be so excited. That cultural misrepresentation of the reality for most people, I think, is really difficult. And a lot of us can struggle with guilt, shame that we're not having that pregnancy. We have complications. And then if you do have complications or serious loss, it's really hard to talk about. There's a taboo against talking about not enjoying your pregnancy, not wanting your, you know, or having a hard time postpartum, admitting that you don't feel bonded to your baby. All of those things can be really, you know, not the kosher things to say necessarily sometimes. And I think knowing that we all have a range of what can happen and what can be normal, and everyone's experience is unique and valid, and that's okay. And that sometimes those can be signs of a true medical and psychiatric problem if you're having those thoughts. And just destigmatizing that, normalizing that, getting people to open up and talk more, that's something that I think needs more attention and more awareness to decrease the stigma associated with that.
That was Dr. Hannah Williams, Associate Professor in the UAMS Department of Psychiatry, talking about the upcoming Women's Mental Health Forum, set for Thursday, October 2nd from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Pulaski Heights United Methodist Church in Little Rock. More information is online at uams.health/mentalhealthforum. The 22nd annual Six Bridges Book Festival kicks off on September 28th, continuing through October 5th. KESU's Marty Scarborough spoke with Tamika Lee, Communications Director for the Central Arkansas Library System, to get a better picture of the event.
Well, the Six Bridges Book Festival is named for the six bridges that cross the Arkansas River. So it was a fun play for us to do a little bit of connecting, you know, all those broader communities that are a part of Central Arkansas. And the purpose of the festival is really just to encourage people to read, celebrating literacy, the written word, and all of the things that are associated with that. So it doesn't matter if it's song writing, film writing, of course, everything related to books in all forms, you know, cookbooks, you know, poetry, everything. But it really is a celebration of the written word.
Well, so tell us about it again in general, and we'll get more to the specifics in a moment, but the types of events that take place over this period from September 28th to October 5th as part of the Six Bridges Book Festival.
So we have around 40 authors who are coming in this year, and some of them are really well-known nationally, internationally known authors, including Louis Sekar, who is the author of Holes. And there are a lot of people who grew up on that book. So he'll be here. Wright Thompson, who is the author of The Barn. For those who are not familiar with the story, the history of Emmett Till, this is what that book touches on. We also have a lot of children's activities as well. So at the children's library on the Sunday of the festival, we'll have a partnership with the Junior League of Little Rock, where we'll have Little Readers Rock. It's a day full of games and hands-on activities. There will also be an author on site for that, because we try and make sure that we have children's authors and illustrators who are also present during the festival. But yeah, it is really a week-long series of events packed with author discussions, cooking, kitchen demos, because we have an author, Philip Ashley Ricks, who is a chocolatier. So he'll be there that week having a demo. We have some writing workshops. So it really is a wide variety of activities that are available.
And so I know in the past, during COVID, a lot of the events for the Six Bridges Book Festival went online. Will there be any sort of online aspect to this year's event?
Well, not this year. We're bringing it all back. But we're hoping that people will be okay with traveling, you know, the couple of hours, because if you come on Saturday, you really can spend the entire day with us, because the sessions start at 10 o'clock and then they run through that evening until like 6 o'clock. So we really do want people to be able to come down, spend some time in downtown Little Rock, enjoy, you know, some of the restaurants that are around there, maybe even some of the other museums, if there's something that people want to see that's happening in addition to the Six Bridges Book Festival. We'll also be celebrating the reimagined main library on that day. So people will be able to come out, see our new podcasting spaces and the new children's center and all these great things that have been added to the library, which has been closed for the last couple of years.
This event, I assume, has grown and changed over the years. Could you tell us a little bit about how that has occurred?
Yeah, so it actually has its roots with the literacy councils. That's actually how the festival started. And then CALS took ownership of it in the mid-2000s. So since the library has taken it on, it has changed, you know, a bit, but it's also expanded in some ways because it's gone to a lot more venues, probably a lot more sponsors than there were initially, and just different types of activities have been added, like so many things, many more activities that are available for children that we have at times incorporated concerts or comedy routines, films. And I don't think that those were necessarily a part of the festival when it started initially. We've taken a lot more broad approach to what it means to celebrate the written word. We've also done a lot of work to try and make sure we're including enough community voices. So people do have a chance to submit authors to us. That session, of course, that period has ended for this year, but we'll do it again next year. So come in the spring, we'll actually have a form available on our website where authors can, you know, they can self-nominate for the festival. But also if there's someone that just you or me or anybody else in the community just says, I would really like to have this author here, they can fill out the form and then, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Well, you've made reference to a few of those authors. I know that time won't permit us to go through every single one of them, but are there any others that you personally are looking forward to or others that you just simply like to highlight?
So Alex Vernon will be here on, he'll be at the festival on Friday, October 3rd. And not only is he amazing, but the moderator for his session is Dr. Chelsea Clinton. So that's pretty cool that she'll be in town. I am looking forward to Rona Weaver. She is, her book is called A Just Cause. She's a local author, and it's really nice when we have the opportunity to highlight them. We also have Regina Black. She writes romance. She's another local author, so it'll be really amazing to see her. Like I mentioned, Wright Thompson, the author of The Barn, Louis Sekar, who's the author of the Holes series, and he has a new book coming out. Victoria, I believe her last name is Capex. She has a book about Taylor Swift. So we know that people are going to like that. Coming in to talk about Taylor Swift lyrics. I mean, Taylor's a whole thing. She's a whole vibe. So we're really looking forward to that session. And yeah, I mean, there are so many, and we're encouraging people to register for the event because we do want to have a good feel for which authors are where people have been able to see, oh, this person is coming. So then we know how much more information we need to put out there about certain things because maybe people have missed them because it is kind of a lot, you know, scrolling through 40, you know, a list of 40. And so we are asking people to register to help us get a good gauge of who's coming, but everything is up now, the entire schedule, all the authors on sixbridgesbookfestival.org.
That was Tamika Lee, Communications Director of the Central Arkansas Library System, talking about the Six Bridges Book Festival, running from September 28th through October 5th. She spoke with KASU's Marty Scarborough. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.